The Word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
God is good. I say thank you. God is good. And all the time, I say God is good. And all the time, something good is happening to somebody. I say something good is happening to somebody. I say something good is happening to somebody. It is happening to you and it is happening to me. Hallelujah. I welcome each and every one of you to our second service. We are coming your way, especially those of you online from Deliverance Assemblies of God, House of Destiny, located at Pig Farm Down, or some say Kotobabi Down, near the Ebony Hotel. This morning, the Lord bless us, and I know that His blessings will continue with us. Hallelujah. We want to go straight into the Word of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Okay, we'll read from the NIV and then from King James. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. And will not delay. Though it linger. Yes. It may linger. It may take some time. It is taking time. It is becoming long. God said that it will linger. Wait for it. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Let's look at it from the King James Version. King James. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, yes, it will tarry. It will linger, it will tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. I speak on the theme, you will not miss your appointed time and place. You will not miss your appointed time and place. I say to somebody here, you will not miss your appointed time and place. I say you will not miss your appointed time and place. Hallelujah. Death will not take you before your time. I said to somebody, I said death will not take you before your time. Death will not take you before your testimony comes. Old age will not take you before your time. Your strength will not fail before your time comes. Your enemies will not succeed before your time comes. The conspiracies of your enemies, the plans and the plots of your enemy will never succeed before your time arrives. I said before your times arrive, when your amen is bigger, your miracle is bigger. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, why did I begin like this? Why is it that death will not take you? Why is that old age will not take you? Even though time is going, before your appointed time comes, it is because the word you are holding on to, it's not the word of man, but the word of God Almighty. I say because the word you are hanging on to, the word you have received, the word that is motivating you to continue to wait and stand. The word you are praying, the word you are believing, is not the word of man. It's not the word of any human being. It's not the word of any human being that is limited, that has limited years to live here on earth. But it is the word of the Almighty, the unlimited God, the God who has no time, the God of eternity. It is his word. And that is why, in spite of the delay, the Bible says, wait for it. Tarry. Because it will surely come. It will surely come. It will never fail. Look, your dream will never fail. Your destiny will never fail. Your testimony will never fail. I say it shall never fail. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we speak these things, the devil will also be speaking and saying, but you have been hearing these words. You have been hearing these words, but nothing appears to be happening. You have been hearing these words, but you are still delaying. It is still delaying. Listen to me. Everything has an expiry date. The only thing that doesn't have an expiry date is God Almighty. And God is connected to his word. I said God is connected to his word. So as God does not expire, his word does not expire. His word does not expire. His word does not expire. That's the mystery of the word of God. It will surely come to pass. Hallelujah. The next very powerful point. In fact, before I mention it, I can tell you that since last two Sundays, when that lady, Madam Vivian, came to testify about the impact, the healing she received when she was following us online and podcast, and that revival broke out in the house, and it became a revival time, I am telling you that there is an atmosphere that has come to remain. An atmosphere of miracles. An atmosphere of testimonies. An atmosphere of release. And it is our responsibility to position ourselves very well. Position your mind, what you think. Position your mouth, what you say. Position your attitude, what you do. I am telling you. In fact, I have about 7 years official, at most 8, 9, to continue to remain here in this church as a pastor. By that time, I should be on retirement according to Assemblies of God regulation. And there are certain things I want to achieve. Some landmark things I want to achieve. I want to leave some legacies before I go. To raise leaders, finish the chapel, the edifice that the Lord said I should build, the palatial structure, and to bless some marriages, to dedicate some babies, hallelujah, to dedicate some businesses. And one of the marriages I had prayed to dedicate, to bless, is the one that has been announced today. Is the one that has been announced today. Hallelujah. I am telling you that for Auntie Benedicta's wedding to be announced today is a testimony to everyone here. I say it's a testimony to everyone here. If you know how old she is, I will not tell you. I will not tell you. She was in this church before I came. She has been faithful. She has served as a Sunday school superintendent. Served as a church board member. Sunday school superintendent for many years. Many years. Local church and district. Serve as a board member. Serve as a church secretary. And when she moved, you know where she lives? She lives at Ashiama, at Tadeka. After Ashiama. Way after Ashiama. If you know where she comes from to this church, you have no idea. But by the time I will get here, she is there. She is there. Those of us who are coming from Achimota, La Paz, Santa Maria, even Awoshi, Malam, compare that one to Atadeka. It's just around the church. It's just around the church. Let me tell you, why will a person travel and leave so many churches, our denomination and other fine churches, travel and sometimes take car about 3 times to go to a church? Is it not a waste of time? Is it not a waste of money? Is it not a waste of inconvenience? Why do you go through such inconvenience? I am here to give you a point. It is because your testimony and your destiny is not everywhere. I say, listen, your testimony and your destiny is not everywhere. It's not everywhere, oh. It's not everywhere. This is a problem with many Christians. They don't know where their destinies and testimonies are connected. So a person will rise up. Once the church is behind my window, they look at how much they will pay for transport. Oh, there is a church here, so I will save that money for this thing. It is not that the church is behind your window. What has that church hold your destiny? Can that church affect your foundation? Deacon Martin is sitting down here. Why he has moved? How do we call your place? Toma, after Amasama. You see, why is he here? Look, get this message today well. I say your testimony and destiny is not everywhere. No, it's not everywhere. But it is somewhere. It is somewhere. It is at a particular place. It's in a particular church. Sometimes when people say all churches are the same, it's not true. We all preach the same gospel, the same Holy Spirit. But graces are different. There are different levels of graces. I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I don't do this, but I just said something to him. I said, I am not saying you should leave your church, but in this church, I don't think your destiny is connected here. I don't think the foundation you carry. No, I don't think. Because here they are playing. Here they are playing. I don't think. But I want you to pray. The next point is that as your destiny and testimony is connected to a particular place, your testimony and destiny is somewhere. The next point is that your testimony and destiny has a particular season, a particular time, and a particular place. It is our responsibility to passionately, as Christians, seek God to know your time and season and place of your destiny and testimony. Your testimony, your dream, your expectation your prophetic word, your destiny, etc., will surely deliver. I say it will surely deliver. It shall not delay. However, understand the following, that in the delivery of your testimony, in the delivery of your dream, in the delivery of your destinies, there are processes. Who doesn't understand English yet? This English service, this online. Because I want you to get everything. There are processes. A process of training. A process of testing. A process of mentoring. There are processes. There are processes. In addition, there are what? Principles. There are rules that you need to obey. There are certain realities that you need to understand and obey. And there are procedures. There are manners, behavior, the way things work that you must know. Look, things don't just work. Things work in a certain way. And you must know how things work. Oh. You must know how things work. Oh. You must know how things work. Oh. You must know the procedures in every matter. The procedure of receiving. The procedure of delivery. The procedure of receiving from God. The processes involved. The principles you must obey. The laws you must obey and follow. Look, things don't just work. When it comes to God, God is an orderly God. God is a principle God. God is not just, excuse me, in our local term, basa basa God. No. God. I haven't known him so much, but I'm trying to know him. But the little I can tell you about God is that may God have mercy on us. I say, may God have mercy. That no wonder the Bible said that you stoop low and make me great. You stoop hot low and make me great. If God has not come to our level, I'm telling you, we can't. We can't. Sometimes when I hear people, they want God to accept them as they are. They want God to understand them that we are human. To err is human. To err is human. Anytime I've heard that from anybody, I pity the person. The Bible said that, be holy because I am called holy. Be holy. It doesn't mean you will not sin. It means mature. Get to a level where certain things are no longer. You should not be associated with certain things. And we mature by the word of God and prayer. Beloved, there are some things that we need to understand. For your timely delivery, for the timely delivery of your testimony and destiny, there are key things you must know and understand. There are key things you must know and understand. Number one, your testimony, your destiny is connected to a particular place. Your testimony and destiny is connected to what? A particular place. I am telling you, a particular spot. A local church, an environment to deliver. Your destiny is not everywhere. No. Your testimony is not everywhere. No. Your dream is not everywhere. A particular place, a particular spot has been marked. Let me tell you this. There are two ways that you can manifest your testimony. One, when you identify your particular place and you are connected to it. When you are connected to your particular place. Number two, when you carry the presence of God wherever you are. These are the two ways. I carry the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. Become like the ark of God. Carry him. So. I say, even when you are standing on the rock, when you plant on the rock with the presence of God with you, the seed will germinate on the rock. These are the two ways you can assess your destiny. Locating your particular place, a particular church. All churches are there. All places are there. They are all good. You, destiny as a person, your testimony as a person is connected to a particular place. I'm not talking about denominations. Yes. It's connected to a particular place. In fact, in Genesis chapter 28, so you do that or you practice what you call the presence of God. The presence of God. Those days when I used to travel to countries around to preach the gospel, there were some places I've gone to and I received attack. I remember the first time I traveled to Berlin. In the night, I had to call my wife, you remember? And my friend, Reverend Agbenyenu, to pray for me. When I look at the time, it was 12:30 to 1. I was lying in the room. When somebody entered the room, there was a presence in the room. And the person dragged me from the bed, brought me to the center table. There was a center table because there was a chair and a table. There was a center table, glass, and started pressing my head. My head on the center table started pressing my head, crash, and I was feeling the pain. And I started struggling. And I mentioned Jesus. And some light appeared in the room, and then the beam disappeared. From that time, my head, headache, when you touch, even when I pull the hair, pain. I had to call my wife in the night. I had to call Reverend Agbenyenu. I said, please, I just received an attack. Pray for me. Another time I went, there was attack. I traveled to another place. I said, God, so why? Is it that when I go to any place, there is attack? Then the Lord said, practice my presence. I am teaching you something. You see, sometimes when some things are happening to you, God is teaching you something. Ask God, God, what lesson are you teaching me is this? God said, practice my presence. Practice my presence. Go with my presence. My presence should go with you. Like my servant Moses asked me in Exodus 33, and I said, my presence. So practice. I say, how do I practice? I say, you just pray that let your presence come over me. I saturate myself, and I started practicing it. I started praying. Now, any place I want to go, I send God's presence there. I saturate myself in God's presence. That time, any place I've gone, I have performed. When I take over, I am in charge. I am flowing from every pulpit. No pulpit has limited me. Hallelujah. These are the two ways to assess your destiny. You must always be at the place that is marked for your destiny, or practice the presence of God. When you are moving in the presence of God, any place you step, even on the rock, when you plant a seed there, it will germinate. Because the rock gave out water. Yes. In Exodus chapter 17, when God told Moses, go and stand by the rock. Pick some leaders. I will stand by the rock. I, God, will stand by the rock. Strike it, and it will produce its water. It is the presence of the Lord. Get to anywhere, any river will part. Psalm 114, 114, verse 1 to 8. Do you know what actually divided the Red Sea? It was not the staff of Moses. It was the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So your destiny has a place. In Genesis 28, Jacob has been running away from the brother. And he got to a place from verse 10 to 15. And then going down. Jacob got to a place. And then darkness had fallen. And he had to sleep. And so Jacob found a stone to use as a pillow and put his head on it. In the night, Jacob had a dream where he saw that there was a staircase that was connected to the heavens and to the earth. And on it, angels were coming up and down. They were traveling up and down. And at the top, the Lord was standing there. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This land where you are, I will give to you. And the Lord says something in verse, there above it. Let's go to verse 14 and 15, especially verse 15. The Lord says something. You know, anytime God, you encounter God, he would like to introduce himself to you. Because there are many forces and powers. So God will always, in the earth, he will always like to introduce himself. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. No power can say that. No power can do that. Only the creator of the heavens and the earth can do that. Say, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Verse 15. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. He told Jacob, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. May the presence of the Lord be with you. I said, may the presence of the Lord never leave you. Amen. Let's continue verse 16. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. 17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Amen. Meanwhile, and then verse 9, he called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Luz is an almond grove, a place where almond trees, let's take orange tree, the place where they grow. So the people named the place Luz. Luz, because there were almond trees there. But Jacob, a man in the spirit, identified the place that, hey, this place is not just a grove, oh. It is rather the gateway of heaven. From today, may you have the anointing to identify the gateways of heaven. Anytime you enter the place, may you receive the anointing to identify what is in that place. The spirit operating in that place. Hallelujah. The same place where people were coming and going, Jacob got there and something happened. Do you know God was orchestrating the journey of Jacob? Do you know the stone that Jacob used as a pillow? When you go to Genesis chapter 12 verse 9, Abraham had built an altar there at that spot. That was where Abraham built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. So many years to come, his grandson was there and took one of the stones of the altar. Took one of the stones to use as a pillow. I am telling you, your sacrifices will benefit your generation. I am telling you, your children and grandchildren, they will come and benefit from your sacrifices and altars. That's why we should be careful what we do. Because the seed we sow will reap. Yes, our generation, our descendants will do what? They will reap. Yes, they will reap. Oh, everything you are doing today. Yes, they will reap. Jacob got there. And the stones that the grandfather Abraham had used to build the altar, that was the stone that he used. And there God confirmed his word to Jacob, that I will be with you. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised. Hallelujah. So there was a particular place. That place was a gateway of heaven. Again in Genesis 26, Isaac wanted to go down to Egypt. He was in Gerar, and there was famine in the land. Everybody was running away because Egypt's economy was doing well. But the Lord said to Isaac, don't leave this place. Stay here for a while and I will be with you. Stay here for a while and I will be with you. The original NIV. Stay here for a while and I will be with you. When God says I will be with you, it is the same as the presence of God being with you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that in the same year, Isaac planted Genesis chapter 12, verse Genesis chapter 26, verse number 12. Isaac planted in the same year and reaped a hundredfold. The same year. The same year. Rain has not yet started falling. But he was obeying the word of God. He said, Isaac, start planting. No rain, but start planting. God used the underground water system before the rain came. God was using the underground water system to water. So he just released the underground water system. So as he planted, when he was planting, people were passing and looking at it. This man is mad. Oh. Madness has come upon this man. Oh. Look, in following God, you have to behave like a mad person. I'm telling you. You have to be selfless. You have to overcome pride. You have to overcome self and the flesh. That is when you can understand God. Because sometimes God doesn't make sense. Yes. How come a land of famine, no rain, the man started planting. He was just obeying the word. And before the people realized, he started germinating, sprouting, started bearing fruit. Then do you know, they also jumped and started planting. But when they were planting, their seeds were dying. Because they didn't have any word. They did not have any word. Let me tell you. Let 100 people be selling the same item on this street. Let God tell you to go and sell the same item. Yours will do well. And theirs will collapse. Because yours have a word backing. There is a word backing. There is a word backing. There is a word backing. Which word is backing your relationship? Which word is backing that marriage? Which word is backing your business? That's why sometimes when we come to dedicate your houses and businesses, we release a word. We release a word. When Pastor Prince and Pastor Roger say, go and dedicate, when you go, say this. Release this. Say this to the place. Because the place must have a word backing. Hallelujah. Your testimony is not everywhere. Your destiny is not everywhere. Your destiny and your testimony and your dream, the fulfillment of it is connected to a particular place. Why am I here? Why is the Lord doing all these things here? When people come here and they look at the area and they begin to shout, how did you do this? How can such a church be planted here? I said, this is not man. This is not man. That no wonder the general superintendent's wife came around, looked at the project and said, this project is the image of God. Imago Dei. Imago Dei. This is the image of God. Another man of God said, this is a statement of God. Another man of God said, this is the voice of God. All the three names, we are going to put them on top. All these three names, we are going to put them on top. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is because God said, go there and build me an army. Go there, I would have died long time. The neighbors around, you know the religion we have around you. They have done, if you know the things they have buried, the power, the networking they have connected to kill me and destroy me in conjunction with some of our weak brethren in the church who are so weak and carnal, who allow themselves to be used. But I'm still standing. I am still prevailing. I am still moving on. Why? Because there is a word backing me. There is a word backing me. Anytime I go to pay first fruit to my senior pastor, We don't dress well because he will pour oil on you so much that the oil will, and then he will start speaking a word. He will start releasing a word. That word. We need that word. We need that word to survive. We need that word to prevail. Hallelujah. So at the place of your destiny, there is a word. I am surviving here because God said, go and build me what? An army. Go and build me a palatial structure. A palatial structure. A cathedral. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm trusting God for the next 7 or 8 years that I have here. I will fulfill my destiny and finish and leave. Because after you go on retirement, all you and your family, you resign from the church. You don't pass there again. A new administration takes over. Hallelujah. And I know that by the grace of God, the Lord will help him. Hallelujah. Coming back with to Sister Benedicta's testimony today. She has identified her place. This is my place. So she could travel from miles, place to place. She could travel from place to place to go to where she believes that her destiny is connected to. Hallelujah. Number two, your testimony and destiny is connected to a particular person. This one, a particular pastor or a servant of God. That is the grace a particular man of God carries. When we say a particular pastor, a particular man of God, those natural attacking pastors, somebody will hear this and say, look at what this man is also saying, this proud man. Listen to me carefully. When we say a particular person, a particular, we are talking about the grace of God. The grace of God, a person. Not a person. Like me, Jelali Boja, but the grace of God, the ministry that God has given to the person, to the body of Christ. Yes, your destiny and your testimony is connected. It is your responsibility. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, look for 18 and 19. Jesus said, look for 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. 19. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the ministry of the person Jesus Christ. This was the grace that he carried. This was the anointing that was be carried. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what we are talking about. Salvation is found in no person apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I think it's in Acts chapter 4 verse 12. There is no name. There is no name. Yes, no name for salvation except the name Jesus Christ. Yes, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Yes. That is the grace of a person. So when I say that your destiny and your testimony is connected to a person, I mean the grace or the ministry that the person carries. You see, you don't just rise up and become a member of a church. It is true. Like we baptized about 30 people last week. Automatically they are members. They become members. Yes. But as you are there, pray. And then the Lord indicates to you that your destiny is not here. Let God direct you. God direct you. Let God lead you. Yes. You just go to the pastor and say, I've prayed and the Lord is telling me that my destiny is not here. But you can stay there and go through discipleship and maturity and all that. Preliminary issues. Then you go to where the Lord is leading. When I'm there sometimes and people come that, oh, I want transfer so and so. Ask my wife. Somebody moved to some place and she came and they were talking and then my wife said, oh, they come for transfer. And then the person said, will daddy give me transfer? I say, ah, that man, he has never refused anybody's transfer. All of you sitting down here, if after church you come to me that the Lord is telling you that your ministry here has ended, I will smile. I will sign your transfer for you. I will sign it for you and say, may the Lord be with you. Because if the Lord is the one leading you out, who is me to stop you? If you remain, you become a woe. You become a curse. You become a burden. If you remain, you become a pain. If you remain, you become like caca. Like pain in the teeth. But if I let you go, God will bring more people. This is my policy. Yes. This is my policy. When I'm there, people come and say, the Lord says, I should come. My destiny is connected to you. So, 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 so. I say, praise God. Let's pray. That is why sometimes I don't understand how some of you behave. I was hearing the other day that a brother and a wife have decided to start fellowships in somewhere. You know, this coronavirus has really come to expose people. And I, some time ago, you see, you know, you people, you know, we know you. When you call people and they start giving you excuses, oh, I am attending classes. Oh, my job, we don't close early. We don't do this. I can tell you how it will end. The person has an agenda. The person has an agenda. When, in fact, 99.7% they have an agenda. Only about 3% are genuine. When people start calling you and give you, only 3% is genuine. 99.7 is not genuine. They have an agenda. I'll tell my wife, you watch how it will end. The next time you realize the person hasn't even seen the courtesy of even telling you that this is the issue, so I want to start fellowshipping here, so that he takes the pastor's blessing before you realize they are no longer around. So when I heard about this brother and the wife and all that, I only say, praise the Lord. If only where you are going can support you, I thank God for that. Because some of you, the foundation you are carrying is heavier than the church you are attending. You are going to join yourself with. The atmosphere around you is heavier. Some of you, your foundation, your atmosphere is heavier than that of the pastor. So if only he can handle you, go. That was what I say. If only, I was telling the person who was talking, not the person, the brother and the wife themselves. I say, if only that place can handle them, the things they carry, if they know that very soon trouble will come and even their house, they will sell it. If they know what I know, they would have been smart and wise to come and say, Papa, the way things are, we feel we should go here. Then I will counsel them and tell them and maybe tell that pastor that, oh, these people, this and this and that. So when they come, organize this kind of prayers for them. But people don't do this. You know, look, your destiny is connected to somebody. It's connected to a person. And when we say a person, let me explain that again. Not a person as a person, but the grace of God, the ministry, the anointing that God has granted that person for the body of Christ or to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there is an account there. 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse 1, going. And you get the point that I'm going to make from verse 18. Saul has been pursuing David from place to place. Pursuing David from place to place. Then David was running away from Saul. Finally, David ran to Ramah, where Samuel was. David ran away to Ramah, where Samuel, the high priest and the first prophet, was. And so David went to bring himself under the covering of Samuel. Tell somebody by you, you need a covering. Tell somebody you need a covering. Hallelujah. Look, you need a covering. I'm telling you. We need coverings. We need coverings. I'm telling you. We need coverings, so we need coverings. I say First Samuel. Is that not it? Did I say Second Samuel? First Kings. Sorry. It's First Samuel. First Samuel. Sorry. First Samuel. Thank you. Please. Clap for yourselves. And let's clap for the brother. Brother Sari, who are later. Please, when we mention scriptures, find for clarification. When you go there, it's not there. Search for it. Google. And then search for it. Because sometimes when we stand here, our mouth can disconnect from our thoughts. So please help us. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the essence of preaching is that you understand what the preacher is saying so that you can apply it. So when you get the wrong scripture, it doesn't help. So be alert. Amen. First Samuel chapter 19. When you read from verse 1 and then you get to verse 18. David ran away to Samuel, who was then in Ramah. And King Saul heard that David was in Ramah. So what did he do? Went to Naioth. Yes. Then he and Samuel went, okay. David went to Ramah, fine. And told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naioth and stayed there. Fine, you see? So he went to Samuel, and Samuel took him to where he was going. So he brought himself under the covering of what? Samuel. Look, you need a covering, oh. I'm telling you, you need a covering. Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there, but you need a servant of God's covering. You have to locate the person of your destiny and testimony and get connected to that person in heart, in spirit, just how you are connected to Christ. You are connected to God and the Holy Spirit. Get connected to the person. I am telling you, get connected. Get connected. There are some people, some fathers I am connected to. I pay first fruit to one person. But occasionally, there are some fathers that I do something for. Yes, because of their covering. And then Saul heard that David was with Samuel in Ramah. Then Saul sent a detachment of an army to go and arrest David. And when these soldiers got there, what happened to them? When they got to Ramah, the prophetic covering, the prophetic anointing over Ramah arrested them. And they started prophesying. Soldiers started prophesying. So soldiers, captors that were sent to go and capture, they returned as prophets. May your captors return as prophets. May those who are sent to capture you, may the prophetic anointing and covering arrest them. May they go back as prophets. Saul sent another group of soldiers. They went. The anointing arrested them. They also prophesied. Then now Saul himself, he said, I think this one, the general himself must go. Because if the lieutenants cannot, the generals must go. I think this one is a battle of generals. That was what Saul said. See, this is a battle of generals. So the Bible says that Saul also went there. Not alone. He also went with his bodyguard. But the Bible says that the same anointing arrested King Saul. And he started prophesying. And for Saul, in order for him to be disgraced, the Bible said that he stripped himself naked and lay on the floor and prophesying for the whole day, 24 hours. Saul was prophesying. May your enemies be arrested. May they strip themselves naked. May they prophesy the whole day. And when I was reading this scripture, I asked the Lord, so what were they prophesying? And the Lord said to me, they were confessing their mission. All they were saying was that we have been sent by Saul. We have been sent to capture David. We have been sent to capture David. We have been sent to many places. We heard that David is here. We have been sent. We have been sent. May your enemies expose themselves to prophecy. May they expose themselves to prophecy. May those who are sent to come and attack you, may they begin to say, I am coming. I've been sent to attack you. I've been sent to attack you. Find a place to hide yourself. Find a place to hide yourself. Find a place to hide yourself. Hallelujah. Just because there was sort a covering. Please, it's not everybody that you bring yourself under. Because we have different levels. If you want to survive, let the Holy Spirit really lead you. You see, that is why sometimes we invite other men of God to bring their grace, to bring the dimension of their grace on the church. Yes, to bring. Sometimes people tell me, oh, there is a program here, Pastor. Can I say attend? If you feel that you need it, attend. Only you should be sure that you don't attend any place and then go and contract a negative anointing that will become a problem to me and the church. Don't go and learn something and then come and then you become a problem. Yes. Yes. Go. Go. That's why sometimes, occasionally, we bring men of God to bring their graces so that we benefit from the grace that what we carry. Hallelujah. And the last point that I want to mention for today, and then I'll conclude this message part two. I thought I could finish it. I have 8 points. I just wanted to mention them like that, but I think I want to end with this point. Number 3, your testimony and destiny is connected to a particular time and season. A particular time and what? Season. That was the scripture we read in Habakkuk. Let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. There is a particular time and what? Season. But the revelation awaits an appointed time. Beloved, there is an appointed time. That time we have the Kairos time. Kairos time. God's appointed time. A time that can be a season. A season of 3 months, 4 months, or 2 years is a season. So that word time could be translated season. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. And it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Your responsibility is what? Is to identify your season and your time. Please, let's be in the spirit. The bane or the dangers of the modern day Christian is that, excuse me 10 times, we are too carnal. We are too natural. We are too much in the flesh. And so we are not able to identify our seasons. Look, there is a season for this church. I'm telling you, we are in the season of delivery. We are in the season of clearance. We are in the season of shifting. It is your responsibility to identify the season. How? Prayerfully. Meditatively. Ask God questions. When is my season? What is my season? Don't let your season pass. Don't let your time pass. Don't joke with it. Don't joke at all. You know, that is why we should be careful about offenses. One of the things that the devil will use to steal your season, to steal your time, to steal your person, to steal your place, or to remove you from your place is offense. Offense! Offense! Why do we have so many churches today? Why do we have so many people calling themselves prophets and apostles today? Number 1, prophecy is being fulfilled. In the last days, spirit will fall upon all flesh. But I didn't say there will be many churches. He didn't say there will be many denominations. No. The spirit will fall upon all flesh. People will prophesy. People will see visions. Yes. He didn't say there will be many denominations. Today, everybody rises up. Who can pray and people fall down? He has become an apostle. He has become a prophet. Look, every child of God has a call. We are all called. We are all called. We are all to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We are all to cast out all devils. But the fivefold ministries is another thing. It's another thing. We are all not called to be pastors. We are all not called to be apostles. We are all not called to be prophets. We are not all called to be evangelists and teachers. As a matter of fact, some people call themselves prophets. They are operating the word of knowledge. They are just operating discerning of spirit. They are not. They are not. That is number one. The spirit will be poured upon all flesh and people will prophesy and all that. But the other reason why there are so many churches, I told you, I was passing, we're driving, and I saw a signboard. And the Lord said, this is a house of rebellion. It's not far from here. This is a house of rebellion. I heard it. This is a house of what? Rebellion. You can imagine what happens to the people who attend church there. One of the reasons why everybody is opening a church is offense. 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 Division among pastors. And the senior pastor did this. And the senior pastor said this. Yes. Why are people leaving the church? And an usher did this. And the pastor said this. And the pastor was preaching and he said this. And he preached me. And he did this. I've left the church. Are you sure that you are not leaving your destined place? Are you sure of what you are doing? So people have left and gone to places and they are dying. They have gone to places and they are stagnating. Nothing is moving. Because you left your place like Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. You have left your Gerar. You have left the place where God has, you have disconnected from the person of your destiny. Look, when you go to Genesis 32, as I conclude, Genesis 32, Isaac, when he was going back, look, there was a time God told Isaac, go back to Bethel. Go back to where? Bethel. Where I met you first, go back there. Listen to me. You are watching me online. There are some of you, God will tell you, go back to that church. Go back to that pastor. Go back. Some of you too, God will tell you, leave that place. Because that place is no longer your place. Like I say, when people come to me that they want, I don't persuade them. In fact, as a matter of fact, the way I answer somebody, the person went and complained. He said, immediately I said, the pastor said, oh, that's good. He just picked the transfer form and started filling. Pastor didn't ask me. Pastor didn't, pamper me a little, me to pamper you, the laliboja, to pamper you. You don't know who you are dealing with. The laliboja, I can fill a house. Let everybody here leave. I can fill this house. I say, I have the anointing to fill this house. Go and come back. The next time you come, somebody is sitting on the seat you are sitting. Somebody will be sitting where you are sitting. Somebody will be doing what you are doing. Hallelujah. I am not afraid of those. I know the anointing I carry. How many people did I come to meet? If you are clapping, clap for the Lord. They are no longer there. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I don't know. Maybe God is leading you. God is saying that your time with me is up. If I continue to keep you, you become a problem. You will not become a blessing again. Yes. Today, if I go home, And the Lord says, hey. The Lord said, my time here has ended. I'm telling you, when God says your time is up, leave, you must leave. When God says don't leave, don't leave. When God says get connected, get connected. In Genesis 32. Yes. Jacob had gone to Laban and Laban cheated him. Then God said, go back to Bethel. On his way back, he had to meet Esau, his brother. And out of fear, he transferred his wife and children to go ahead of him. They crossed the river and Isaac was waiting. The Bible says in verse 24, Genesis 32, from verse 24, that night, a man came to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob. And they wrestled the whole night. And when you go to Hosea chapter 4 verse something, Hosea 4:12, that angel that wrestled with Jacob was the Lord himself. Was the Lord himself. Is that Hosea 4:12? No. Then I'll give you the right scripture. I'll give you the right scripture. Is it? Or 13 or something. Yes. It is there that the Lord himself was the one who had wrestled with Jacob. He wrestled with Jacob. And what happened? Jacob said, bless me. Bless me. When Jacob realized that it was the Lord, the Bible says he held him tight. Look. Hold your destiny person tight. I say, hold your destiny person tight. He held him tight. Tight. If you don't bless me, I won't let you go. The only way the angel could free himself was to hit the heart. The loin, the hip. The hip bone. Of Jacob. That should tell you if a man can hold an angel, because angels are very powerful. If a man can hold an angel like that, that tells you how we should hold God. And that tells you how we should get connected to our destiny person. Our destiny persons. And then he had to hit here, and then Jacob had to let him go. From that time, Jacob started limping. Jacob started limping. Let me tell you, one of the marks, the thing that you see on Jesus to identify that he is Jesus, are the marks on the hand. The holes, they are there. The holes at the side and at the feet. Look, everybody that has wrestled with God, you must have a mark. You must have a mark. Some people, because of so much fasting, they are suffering from ulcer. Ulcer, yes, ulcer. That is the mark. That is the mark. They got ulcer. They got hurt. What mark have you gotten? What have you sacrificed for the Lord? We shall continue on Sunday. Don't allow offense. Don't allow offense. Don't allow offense. Don't permit offense. Watch out for offenses. Watch out for certain relationships. The devil will bring some people around you. Their ministry is to distract you. They are not going anywhere, but they just came around to waste your time. These are the things you need to identify. And when you identify them, deal with them. This time in which we are, I've told my wife, I've realized that some people have decided to be themselves. For the next 7 or 8 years I have in this church, I am not going to waste my time on certain people. People who have decided to be themselves, I will let them be. I will let them be. Look, this COVID time, pastors were sleeping, pastors were resting. But myself and this woman, from March, we haven't slept. Podcast, every day. Until the end of last year, we say, oh, it's too much. Let's make it 3 times in a week. Even now, we want to go on leave. of podcast in October. But we have started receiving responses. Pastor, it will be difficult. Pastor, it will be difficult. 1 month, it will be difficult. Now that people are joining, now that people are testifying, all this we are doing, we haven't slept. And then you want me to call you to come to church. My God, don't worry. In the next few years, you won't hear this voice here. You'll be hearing other voices. You wish you get these messages. You wish you get these prayers. That's why I am training you. Because very soon you will not see me. I will not die. I will be somewhere else. I will not even pass here. So that when I'm not around, you can do it your own. You can do it your own. Hallelujah. So now that we are around, get everything. Amen. Get everything. So to summarize everything, your testimony and destiny has a place. It has a person. It has a time and a season. It is your responsibility to identify. There are prayers to pray. There are sacrifices to make. There are services to render. Rise up with me right now. Say, oh Lord, help me not to miss my time. Help me not to miss my place. Help me not to miss my person. Oh Lord, help me, help me, help me, Lord. I will not miss. I will not miss. I will not pray that prayer right now. I will not miss my place. I will not miss my time. I will not miss my person. I will not miss it. I will not miss. I will not miss. Rakata kle rotaskata.
Yes, help me. Yes,
so
help me not to miss my time. Help me not to miss my time. I will not miss my place. I will not miss my time. I will not miss my place. I will not miss my place. I will not miss my place. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me.
In Jesus' name. Beloved, I have a policy. I have a principle. Let it be God. Let that door be opened for you by God. When God says no, just surrender. When God says I've opened this door, go to America, go to America. But if God has not opened that door, don't stand there and think that your destiny is only connected to America. I am going to say this. I've never said it anywhere. And I've talked to pastors. The first time I preached, the country I preached, and I was given $10,000 and 10 million CFA. That is big money. Some years ago. Do you know that country? It's not America. It's not Europe. Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso! Who tells you that your destiny is in America? I know pastors come down. I have to pay their ticket back. They bring things from America. I have to give them money to clear goods. Who tells you? Who tells you? What is your destiny? Everybody wants to go to America. Everybody wants to go to Europe. Everybody wants to run away. Yes. If it's the Lord. If it is the Lord. If it is the Lord. This building we are building, we haven't received any money from any country. Do you know where the money to link this place, half of this place. Do you know where that money came from? Benin. Benin. A brother from Benin. Not America. Not Europe. Which church will you go to America and preach? And they'll give you $10,000. They'll give you $200. $500. I went to Benin to preach. The church gave me 200,000 sifa. A businessman in the church gave me $10,000. Another businessman gave me, who owned a hotel, gave me 10 million sifa. Burkina Faso, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? When God says, go to Togo, go to Togo. Go to Togo. Which word is backing you? Where you are, which word is backing that marriage? Which word is backing that business? When God says, you should sell ice water, 100 people will be selling ice water. When God says, you, go and sell ice water. Obey. Don't say, about there are many people in it. No. You have a word backing you. Lift up your right hand. Say, Lord,
Lord,
help me. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help
say,
me.
Lord, help me, Lord.
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me. Help
Lord,
me.
Help me.
Lord, help me.
Lord,
help me not to miss my place.
Not to miss my place.
Not to miss my place.
Not to miss my
person. Not to miss my time.
Not to miss.
Not to miss. Not to miss, Lord.
Lord, help me. Lord, help me not to miss my place. Lord, help me not to miss my time. Help me not to miss my place.
Shikle
not to miss my time.
Shikete kele brotoska.
Father, help me.
Shile kretoska tayaka.
Lord, help me.
Shale kretoska.
Not to miss my place.
Reteke shokare kretu. Sali kretoska taya.
Help me, Lord.
Lipeke tola kretoska.
Help me, Lord.
Shakareta koskara. Tikle toka li kretoska. Shala kretoska tayaka. Le preketo calebreto. Kashanda li careta. Shakali kretos. Bali karandos kata. Kale kretos kata. La kretos kataraka. Le kretos kataratos katayaka. In Jesus' name. People wonder how I have survived here. God said, go and build me an army. I am sending you there. Go and build me what? An army. I've survived because of the word of God. If you know what our neighbors have done, they want to kill me several times. The things they have projected, the things they have buried on the ground. Some of them, they tell me, say, Pastor, you are a man of God. In collaboration with some of our weak brethren who are carnal, they use them. I have survived because I have a word backing me. May you receive a word of God.
Amen.
May you survive.
Amen.
I said, may you survive.
Amen.
I said, may you survive.
Amen.
The scripture we were looking for, Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged him for favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. From 5. Hosea 12, 4. That's the law. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. Hosea 12, 4 to 5. So the Lord himself
thank
was the
you
one
for
that
listening to today's up. Word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ.